Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 110th episode of the Planet Destiny podcast.
Woo!
And officially the 20th episode of the new crew who you're seeing here and here and every in all the different boxes Woo! That are surrounding my face right now. Hello, I am your host, the Black Link, along with the other host, Story.
Here.
Fallout.
Present.
We're going to skip Mega. Cammy Cakes.
I don't get a guest today. I get skipped. I was the only one who was...
Quiet. Shut up. We don't want to hear from you. We have a special guest today, a PvP legend himself, Mr. Cammy Cakes. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How's everyone else?
Not bad. Now you can talk, Mega.
Oh, okay. I just said in the chat I was not going to speak for the remainder of the podcast, but I guess since you've given me permission, thank you.
There we go.
Thank you very much.
How you guys doing this week, man? You guys all right? Have a good week in Destiny?
Yeah. Trials was interesting this week, but
interesting how?
Yeah, man.
Ooh. Yeah. How does that work with sidearms?
Yeah.
I like my sidearms.
What are sidearms? I've never heard of those.
Yeah. I don't have a wormwood in my pocket and in my other pocket.
Hey, now.
So it's the second week of this this new brave world of Hotfix 2.5.0.2.
Yes.
And how are you guys finding yourself playing in the Crucible? You settled into the new meta, which is the same as the old meta,
just
more sidearms.
More sidearms.
Yes.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Right on.
I feel pretty settled. Pretty settled. I really didn't get to play too much outside of Trials this weekend, so I can't say that much. I had some fun. Matches being a complete meta whore with the NLB sidearm combination in control at least. So I got my first ever, double down one bullet with the NLB, so I felt pretty happy this week.
Oh, nice, dude.
You're one of the scumbags everybody's complaining about.
Yeah, but to be fair, I would pull out the NLB fairly regularly before because it was the only sniper that I could do anything with at all. Because when you're as bad of a sniper as me, you need more than just the occasional special ammo box. You're going to miss a lot of shots. So it's one of my favorite guns already.
Right on, man. Right on. How best to put this without sounding like a whining scumbag?
No. Don't try to trim it, dude.
We
give
want
us the
full,
pure, yeah, unfiltered
really
wine
feel.
Right now.
All right. So when it comes personally for me, the honeymoon period is over for the bright, fresh newness of the Hotfix meta. I've had my week or two of trying out different guns. I'm right back to my Aias Luna palindrome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right back where I belong. And I actually had a bit of a 4 to 5 hour session earlier today where I was trying to get some footage specifically of the Suros RE45, the high impact auto rifle, because I'm working on a review for it and a couple of other arms day like gunsmith weapons. It sucks.
All right, there's the full
they
review.
The
video's
full review.
Video's 2 seconds long. It sucks.
It sucks. Suros RE45 sucks. Kumakatak HC4 sucks. Down in Doubt sucks. That's 3 reviews in a few seconds, and you don't have to worry about using those. Just stick to your vendor palindrome and your filthy wormwood.
Filthy wormwood.
Yeah, maybe just take those guns into PvE, but you know. Why don't we take things over to our guest? Because we do have a special guest this week in lieu of Bones. We've got Mr. Cammy Cakes here. What is it that you do, man?
Are you saying in general or for the new PvP meta?
Everything.
Dude,
we want
both,
everything.
Altogether.
All the dirt. Just dish out every last piece
Where
of
do you
dirt.
Buy your clothes? What's your preferred toothpaste? All right, I gotcha. Everything.
So, long story short, I make videos sometimes PvP related and sometimes just for a laugh. And that translates to my Trials cards, too. Like, today I got a kill with Pocket Infinity just because I could. And
my man.
What did the person who that happened to, what did they even say? Like, look at their kill feeds. Like,
I don't know.
Fuck?
They didn't just leave like I thought they would. It took 9 shots of it before they dropped.
Oh, my God.
He was also wielding the Mythic class for a good fair section of one card as well. And absolutely destroying people with it as well.
What?
Yeah.
You gotta understand, I don't use primaries anymore. I'm in the sword hilt. I just like go third person and toss grenades at people.
He's got some incredibly interesting
best
game plans and stuff like that, man. If you're on Xbox and you can try and grab a card with Cam, do it, man. It's an experience. That's all I can say.
I feel like that would just make Fallout's head explode to be like, well, you're not using the best guns though. Those aren't the ones that are the best on paper.
I'm scared to be in the lobby with a lobby cool guy. We'll talk each other's ears off for days. Probably.
Well, it can happen. I mean, I encourage it to happen. But yeah, it was really, really interesting, you know, like quick cards, fairly quick cards as well. We only had like because we did a repeat the last week, Cammy and Cool Guy and myself. Ran two cards. We only lost a couple of games, and it was mainly to folks with pretty bad internet, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like someone in between Japan and Australia on some remote island.
It was literally right in the middle of the ocean. In the Pacific Ocean. Yeah, like next to some Solomon Islands or something like that, man. It was
it's
crazy
Tom
stuff.
Hanks playing out on a raft with Winston.
Yes,
Winston
on the mobile hotspot.
He's got his trials card done with Wilson.
What did I say?
Yeah, you said Winston.
I've been playing
everybody's favorite off-brand version of volleyball.
He's literally playing. It's Tom Hanks and a scientist gorilla playing together on the raft of the ocean.
That was the Flawless Squad right there.
Oh my gosh. I need more sleep. I'm telling you right now.
We all do.
Yeah.
We're talking about Trials here. You guys play Trials more than I do. I haven't played Trials for like a month and a half now. With the new, I guess we'll call it the new current ongoing primary meta, have you guys noticed any changes?
Primary meta? What primaries?
What's that?
My lord. You know, I have a calendar hanging on my wall, and it is counting down the days until the community complains too much and overboils about No Land Beyond and sidearms being used too much.
It's already like, happened.
If there
have
was
we not
only
hit that point?
Some way that we could counter these No Land Beyonders, it's like, yeah, that's why we had shotguns. Like, you take the shotguns away, it's like, what's that old expression? I don't even know what the hell I'm talking in. It's like, when the cat's away, the mice will play or whatever right now. And the mice are everywhere right now. Every single card I go into this weekend, I did.
So what
fine,
Fallout is saying
like,
is,
everywhere.
Anyone who uses
everywhere.
NLB is a rat in Fallout size. You're a dirty vermin.
No.
That's what he said.
Really love No Land Beyond. But I'm just saying, it's like, one little tweak the game, and all of a sudden, so many changes. You know what I mean? Like, overnight, we went from shotguns everywhere to sidearms, and especially No Land Beyond. I just think that we're so close to a really amazing PvP meta, but like, we just can't.
That's
it's like
makes
a teeter totter.
It's so irritating. We're so close.
It is. I know.
So close.
Like, before February, the teeter totter was like this.
Yeah.
And it was like,
I feel like it's like an asymptote in math. Like, you're just always approaching it, and we get closer and closer constantly, but it'll just never be right. Yeah. It's always going to be frustratingly off.
And the annoying thing is, by the time they get this perfect equilibrium, Destiny 1's gone, and we've got a whole new game to play, and the whole thing starts all over again.
Yay,
cycle continues. It's beautiful.
But it just kind of frustrates me that there's no reason to use any other special in Trials other than a sidearm or maybe an icebreaker.
Pocket Infinity. Or that.
Or Pocket Infinity.
That's a great choice.
It's like if you go in with a fusion or a shotgun or any sniper not named Icebreaker No Land Beyond, you're just like sitting around with your thumb up your butt for like
it
a minute.
It depends on the team you play. Some are aggressive because they know you don't have anything to punish their sidearm.
Of course. Yeah. If they know that you're not prepared,
three defenders and replenish shotguns and just pop a super every round. No,
that's definitely been a thing that's going on.
It's crazy to me that just everybody seems to adapt so instantly to a new meta. Yeah. Like everyone's in tune with this game for some reason. I don't. You would think there'd be like. Half the people would just be like, oh, there was a patch? Like, that would be me for most games, but I didn't even know they changed anything. And then, oh, wow, why does this gun suck lately?
That might be our fault.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
Did you see him running around? That's all me.
This moment.
I'm like, shotguns? Win-win. Me? Excuse me? Yeah. I have been using sidearms forever. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Fallout was singing the praises of sidearms just weeks ago. Go back and watch an old podcast. He'll tell you shotguns were for scrubs and, you know, nobody used them.
Yeah. It was all about that Iron Wreath meta. All the time, 24/7.
Iron Wreath all day.
If you want to see his channel, you can go to youtube.com/MikeNeff2006. That's fun.
Classic.
That's right. I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you're right. After the patch went into effect, it was like an instantaneous switch to everybody using Wormwood. And of course, you know, we have a little bit of something to do with that. There were no shortage of videos going up saying, hey, you want a good sidearm? Head to Future Warcult. There's literally a perfect sidearm you can buy right now called the Wormwood. But it's you're absolutely right when you talk about it like a teeter, you know, a seesaw and on a constant teeter totter. You take away the shotguns, suddenly, and not just taking away the shotguns, but you change the ammo economy in such an extreme way. Losing all of your special ammo after death is extreme. That's a huge change. And there was really no other outcome, in my opinion. I mean, I think we even said as much before the patch went into effect. We expected there would be heavy sidearm use because, of course, it's a special weapon that's got a pretty fast time to kill and retains ammo after death. You can even go around picking up special ammo off the ground and keeping that in your reserves moving forward. So, of course, this sort of thing was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that it's kind of created a crazy environment in Crucible right now. I'm a little sick of getting scrailed. Mm-hmm. By Wormwoods and
Railed?
Teacup Tempest. Yes.
What kind of scat slang was that? What the fuck?
Look, man. I like that word. That's
that
a
means
good word.
Screwed railed.
That's okay. Right. When you get scrailed.
I can read you like a book, buddy.
Completely railed.
There you go.
My man. I got you.
My man.
And so what do you guys think Bungie could really do to sort of alleviate this?
Nerf fusions.
Yes,
Nerf Blades.
I like where this man is.
Everything could be cleared up if they were to just take Blink and maybe nerf it one more time.
One more.
No, I mean, like, okay. So what was the problem before? The problem before was that the shotguns were very strong and there was very little reason, especially in like threes and fours, to use anything other shotgun because you can just roll up on people. Primaries weren't strong enough or reliable enough, maybe I should say.
Yeah.
And they took care of that because now primaries are very reliable. Hand cannons feel great.
Yep.
And shotguns have been hit pretty hard. I mean, you know, with the mid-air accuracy reduction and the pellet precision damage taken away, that really hurts the shotgun. And it's like you had already kicked them in the groin, and now it's like when they're down on the ground, knife in the back with the special ammo, ammo change. You know what I mean? It didn't need all of that. At the same time, I feel like if there was just a minor tweak to how the ammo worked,
slowly
maybe when
but
you die,
surely, not one big step. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe like reduce 50-75% of your ammo. Because, like Bones said on the show last week, it's not fun to like walk up to a special box and pick it up and spend all the time reloading and then you just go into an engagement and you die.
You got final round on your shotgun.
Then it is fun. Yeah.
Then it is fun.
But for those of us who aren't psychotic lunatics, it's just not fun to like, you have to wait around and like, oh yeah, I finally get my ammo. And then you go into an engagement and you die. Not necessarily because you make a mistake. Mm-hmm. I mean, Destiny's very fast paced with a lot of crazy movement. You got Titans skating around, Warlock surfing, and you can just get picked off. Not by any real fault of your own. And you're like, ah, damn it, dude, I just lost all of my freaking ammo. Like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's pretty frustrating.
You can't just hang out, chill, and play Crucible. You got to think about it. If I mess up, I lose all my special ammo and have to waste 30 seconds.
And it puts you
It makes me lose my ammo more because I'm so worried about, oh, if I fuck this up, I'm going to lose it. And then I screw up because I'm so in my head.
Don't you think that's what special weapons should feel like, though? That they should have that high risk, high reward kind of thing. Because I honestly thought with the special ammo changes that now special weapons are a little bit more in the bracket of being special.
I kind of agree with you, Storm.
Piddled all over that is the sidearm issue because they retain ammo on death and they hold so much ammo. It's like they had a really good movement pushing forwards with that change, but then completely negated it with a weapon type that they're clinging to this, you know, the origins, oh, the sidearms have to keep their ammo on death because that's how we originally decided it should be.
Design them.
I mean, and I'm not taking the piss out of that idea, but I just think that's really what's messing with that change right now. And it's kind of odd to me that they didn't foresee that happening and thinking, oh, this could be a bad idea, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's a great change, but it is really like a spanner in the spokes, the sidearms are, you know.
We're walking a very fine line. Because, like, I agree with you. I want special weapons to actually feel special.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it should be. I want the majority of our fights in the game to be primary based. I don't want to have to go in, even though it was really fun. I've had, like, many games where I've just gone in and I've just used nothing but my special. And gone like positive two, positive three, because what the hell's a primary? But I want primaries to be good. I want specials to be special. But I don't want to feel like we're being tremendously punished. I feel like 98% of all gunfights right now are primary based, which might be a little too high. And if you're using a special weapon, you're probably using a Wormwood or a Jabberhockey or an Iron Wreath. It's like, I don't know.
Most of the kills, I played some sixes yesterday morning, and I can't say that I really enjoyed it because there was, even in Mayhem Clash, this was nuts for Mayhem Clash. Like, I played Mayhem Clash for about 3 hours, and the kill feed was literally, number one, sidearms, like obviously a Wormwood, number two, grenades, and then you might get the occasional super. You know, it's like in Mayhem Clash.
In Mayhem.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
That was 3 hours on Xbox in a really condensed environment where the player base is a lot smaller and the skill gap is much, well, not higher, but like because it's condensed, you're playing some really good players. And it's like because the sidearm is such a fast time to kill, you know, like it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, sixes is really heavily dominated by sidearms and grenades. And it's not just stickies of, there's like a resurgence of sticky grenades at the moment, which personally I haven't really got a problem with. I'm just kind of gobsmacked of why a fusion grenade is the best sticky grenade. It's like best primary. But like, why is that the best one, you know? But yeah, I don't know, I think the sidearm issue is a pretty big issue. I don't think sidearms are overpowered in the slightest.
It's just that there's no reason to use, especially in trials.
In trials, they have revive shields. You need something to burn that down, whether it's a fusion grenade or a wormwood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's foundation of the whole problem to me is just that, like, I like the concept of, you know, primaries being the main thing and hardly getting used.
Somebody screen cap that. You'll understand later, Mega. Somebody screen cap it, please.
Okay.
All right.
I'll just go with it. I like the concept of it all, but it's that it's applied to everything equally that is the problem when certain game types play differently. Like,
yes.
I like the concept for some things, but it doesn't necessarily work for trials and for like sweats and stuff for tournaments. I wish that custom games had more customization options for it. So you could sort of tweak the rules how you wanted to set them up.
Right there with you, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's a thing. But they are really kind of very focused on trying to make it general for everything. And I really think that it would be an idea to lose that. I don't think that it has... What are the advantages of trying to keep everything exactly the same, other than, like, the feel of the weaponry and the arsenal and the subclass abilities? Is that really going to massively change too much? Are you going to feel that it's not Destiny by having separate rules that are a bit more geared to the game types, you know, a multiplayer / player versus environment? Is it really going to be that negative if there were separate, you know, attributes for both areas?
No, I don't think that'll hurt it at all. I think that's a step forward. However, I do think we should reduce the amounts of playlist at the moment just because of our population size. It's really hard to find a game sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's massive playlist bloat right now. Because we have, how many are there? 12? Let's see.
It's in the teens. Yeah, it's in the teens.
Yeah, there's a lot of playlists for you know, the population. This is almost a 3-year-old game. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the population has suffered a bit from that. And we probably don't need all of those playlists available every single week when a lot of people don't really play too much of them. But it's certainly a very difficult issue, special-wise, for Bungie to balance. Thankfully, it does seem like they're listening, and yes, they're looking to make some very quick adjustments to it, because we got a Bungie weekly update, and they talk directly about these issues in that weekly update. And you guys want to go through some of that?
Oh, I would love to go through it.
Yeah. I've been looking forward to
excellent. This is what I do. Well, first off, we got to hear a bit more from Josh Hamrick over there at Bungie, senior designer. And I just wanted to say, this is really good. We're hearing more from Bungie employees post-hotfix about some of the future balance changes they want to make. This is the exact sort of thing I want to see from Bungie moving forward, you know, being a little bit more transparent about what they're testing in the background, the issues that the community has that they're hopefully addressing right now. And that's certainly what they do in the This Week at Bungie blog. All right, so we're going to go in here. Josh talked a bit about some of the current concerns and what they're working on. Number one, sidearms. In a not entirely shocking development, the sidearm meta has grown strong. With its innate ability, with its innate ability to not only keep ammo through death, but to also actually store it away, Scrooge McDuck style, by the way, I like the DuckTales reference, it's the ultimate gift for anyone who's always running out, for now. We're currently working on a change that would allow sidearms to continue to spawn with a small set of ammo post-death, but keep them from stacking anything extra. They'll be handy if you run into resistance on your way to the ammo crate, but to keep your sidearm usage high, you'll need to stock up more often. So basically, it sounds like one of the biggest complaints about sidearms right now, which is that they can go around, pick up ammo, and they retain that extra ammo after death. Probably not going to be a thing too much longer. What do you guys think?
I hope they scale it to the archetypes of sidearms, so Anton's rule is still spammable.
That's a good point, actually. Right? That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. But for this change, I think they've addressed an issue, but I don't know if this is the complete solution. It's definitely not a bad solution. It's a step in the right direction. But it's not going to change a whole lot. If I go into trials after they change this, I'm still not going to use a shotgun or fusion rifle or a sniper other than No Land Beyond or Icebreaker. Because, again, no ammo. So I'm still going to bring my Wormwood. I'm just going to use it maybe 25% less, depending on my situation in the game. Like, if you look at the Guardian.gg or the Trials Report or whatever the hell website you look at, to look at the numbers after a weekend of trials, after whenever this patch goes live, the weapon statistics prediction right now are going to remain very, very much the same. There's going to be Wormwood up there, Trespasser, No Land Beyond, Icebreaker in terms of sidearm sniper, and so
Luna Pally.
Luna Pally. Yeah. And it's a step in the right direction for sure. But I don't think we're there yet, but we'll see what happens.
I'm looking at Trials Report right now. Sidearm usage is 57.55%.
Woo! Oh, good lord.
And of that, 18.84% is the Wormwood.
Yeah.
All right.
Very high numbers there. Yes. I mean, they did say, this is the thing that excited me a lot, and I think we should probably take off our hats for a moment and have a moment of appreciation for Josh Hamrick for actually appearing again so soon in This Week at Bungie. And being a hell at making this massive effort to be a lot more transparent, it's a great direction for the dev team to be going in, because one of the heavy criticisms that we all pretty much share is that these updates are few and far between. And I saw a very interesting post on Reddit the other day that was written very eloquently by a concerned fan of the game, saying that no wonder there's so much uproar from the player base when we have patches that change things so radically. It would be better if they could to have smaller patches spread throughout the year. And of course, he wasn't meaning every 5 minutes, you know, or every week or every month, but something a little bit more common. And of course, the communication that goes along with that, like, guys, we're planning on changing this and we hear you about that. And yeah, this is an issue here and blah, blah, blah. So this
and
is
why?
A great. Yeah. And why? Exactly. So this is a great
thumbs
direction.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Josh.
That's why
we really appreciate.
That's why I'm in theory a fan of the fact that they didn't necessarily completely remedy sidearms, or we predict that it doesn't completely remedy it, because they did a small change instead of hugely reacting like 2 months from now. I like that if they're going to be more, if they're going to be
sidearms for the game completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they're going to be more communicative and they're going to make changes a little more frequently, or it seems like they're at least talking to us about making changes a little more frequently, I like the idea of them being smaller things to see how it works out first.
Yeah. Well put, Mega. Well put.
Yeah, and like the fact that this new update here, that the situation on sidearms at the moment is there's recognition and an acknowledgement that there's a problem. But this could also change. It could be that by the time a patch materializes, that we do actually have sidearms brought in line with things a hell of a lot more than what's been discussed so far on This Week at Bungie. Because already, like, the conversation is reducing the ammo by a little bit really going to solve the problem? And I think the direct answer to that is no, it's not going to solve it. You really do need to bring sidearms in line with all the other specials for there to be, you know, more of an equilibrium between the lot, and it'll bring back special diversity as well. It's it's still going to suck that you're going to have the ammo problem, but I think that's a good move for the game. Like, I'm going to have to go to this crate and get my special after my death, you know, especially for 6v6 and all the game modes, really. I think it's a good move. And if we at the moment, if sidearms lost all of their ammo on death, I think they still have a place. They still have a rapid time to kill. They're still great for in air, you know, the verticality. They're great for backpedaling. They still have a place. But special diversity would definitely return.
I think they need to work on some perks with weapons, like the exhum perk on a lot of special weapons. Reviving Grand Slate, reload, or handling speed, or something of that nature.
Yeah.
No, just give them one bullet on revive.
Not bad. Not a bad idea.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I'd take that.
For sure. We're all like crack addicts right now. I'd take one bullet. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Got any
of that. Nah, man. Y'all got any more of them bullets, man?
Got the green, man. How much for that green?
Yeah, I need it. Well, moving
TV,
on here.
Yeah, what else we got?
Next up, another, you know, small bit of contention in the community over the past 6 or 7 months. The memory of Scory.
Yeah.
They're finally going
what's
to
that?
Be addressing that
what?
In a very interesting
story.
Yeah, what's that? Scories, what's that?
Story? What?
Story.
About Radagast and Trials. Yeah.
Yeah. You would be surprised.
Oh, no. I don't know if I want to hear that story. So this is what Josh says. This artifact has led to some of the greatest dance parties I've ever attended in Destiny. Totally relevant. That being said, aside from encouraging these sort of team-building events, the artifact itself tends to inspire a more lackadaisical approach to gameplay. Instead of continuing to encourage you to hurry up and wait on a super, we're looking at modifying Scories to motivate some activity. The change currently in testing requires a kill to jumpstart Scories' unique ability for the next minute. Once it times out, you'll need another kill to jumpstart it again. We believe you won't have any problems killing one enemy every 60 seconds for maximum uptime in PvE, but Trials may offer a greater challenge. Big. That's what I would say. Big change.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with that.
Do we think
my
it's going
to
be enough?
My first reaction was props
yes,
to
it'll
Josh.
It'll definitely be enough.
For using the word lackadaisical.
He phrased it as eloquently as a person could. Like, he really did a good job.
No, that's a good change. I'm really glad that... I mean, again, I'm not trying to say that, like, Bungie doesn't listen to the community, because we know
they do
listen
to
the community.
No, they clearly
don't. Like, it's just great that, like, they're finally like, yeah, we admit it's a thing that we should be looking into. We're gonna tweak it for you guys. Which is great, and I've said many times on this show, when I do trials runs to help virgins go to the lighthouse, I use the memory of Scory with absolutely no regret, because I'm trying to use the best options I can.
For a man who has no regrets, he has to justify himself a lot.
Dude,
about
I'm just
this.
Saying, but I need to open with that to lead to this, because I use it, but at the same time, I don't want to use it. You understand? Like, I don't want to. I don't want there to be one artifact, which is like the golden standard. Like, if you don't pick this, you're just fucking up. Like, why would you not?
No, I see. Yeah, you extend the game because it's going to better your chances to win. We understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
But
you're absolutely right, though. You know, why would what other artifact gives you as big of a benefit as Scories?
Nothing.
What?
Yolder helps with the sprint.
Timur, I can get captains on my side in trials, obviously.
There you go. That's a good call.
You know?
Even with Yolder. I'll explain the Radagast in like 30 seconds. It's real quick. So you know how the Warlock can sword skate? And Radagast gives you more sword ammo, right? So what you do is you suicide bomb with the Sunsinger. You just run for the heavy. Hold the pickup and hold the block button at the same time. Now you pick up the heavy, you're blocking with the sword. Everyone's shooting at you. They're eventually going to have to reload. When you see the first person reload, you swordscape back in the cover because there's no way they can keep up with that. And then if you're smart and have a bolt caster, you can just start throwing it at them. And if you happen to die, then you self-res and hold the pickup and do the same thing over again.
I've watched him do this, and he's done this against stacked teams, like and successfully pulled it off many times. I mean, of course, it's going to take some practice, isn't it, Cam? But like that.
Yeah, for sure.
That kind of technique. And
that reminds me. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it, man.
I was just going to say that's such a crazy, amazing plan. It like reminds me of when I play Pokemon and I plan to sweep entire teams with like a baton passing Eevee or some crap like that.
Oh, God, tail blow.
It's just might as well be called baton pass.
Yeah, pretty much. That's awesome that you found a good use for it, though.
That's the artifact that reflects projectiles, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Correct.
I've seen him use it to bounce back. I can't remember who he was playing. It was somebody really good. But it was like somebody really good, and like they came up to him, and they just so didn't expect that somebody would be using Radagast that he just stood there blocking, staring at him, and then it just, boom, there it is.
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious.
But not to derail the conversation. I just felt like everything has a use.
I'm so glad that you're here, Cammy.
It's beautiful. I want
to jump
see
in
that.
With your wonderful aside. Truly.
So with the Scory change, I like to think of Scory Campus. I feel like there's like two separate realms of it. There's the people who just don't ever push you at all, ever. They stay in the back and they camp Scories and they get their supers. And then there's the people who maybe get a pick and then they don't get aggressive afterward because they know they have the advantage and they can camp Scory. I feel like this change will eliminate the first one. But the second one will still be, you can still do that pretty easily, especially since trials rounds are only a minute and a half now if it takes 30 seconds to get the
first
kill.
That was a great change, by the way.
Yeah,
it was.
You've got the thing for the
whole
time.
It's a
small change, like the sidearm one. They made a small thing instead of getting too crazy with it.
15-second trials round.
No. Yep.
Let's
go.
Do it.
But, Jesus. Know, that'd be amazing. That'd be Fallout Stream. I feel like if everyone had to rush and fight immediately.
Immediately.
I had an epiphany.
10-second rounds.
Give it like 2 months from now, and people are going to be waving special ammo.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Force the primary. But that's the thing that I was thinking about with the Scories change. So you get a kill. It's active for a full minute. Trials is a minute and a half now. It's a good change because it's going to force, you know, the person with Scories on that team to actually go into action and have to get a kill. Do you guys think a minute is too long for the effect to be live?
They could tweak it. I mean, something cool would be to make it so you have to dance to get the effect, but then I feel like that might lead to camping again.
Yeah, I'm already dancing all the time anyway. Maybe that's perfect for me.
Yeah, maybe they do need to make it a little shorter. I don't know, but... Yeah. It would certainly help against teams with multiple guardians running stories. You know what I mean? Like I was doing trials today with KJ Hovey, super fun, and we came up against a team, two Defender Titans and a Stormcaller, and they are all running Scory, and I just wanted to kill myself. It was just like so horrific.
What do you even do?
We don't beat them by the skin of our teeth, but like it's just it's crazy. You know what I mean? Because I don't know, they can just do whatever they want. They can run off.
The kill to make a minute charge a Scory is fair, because it's very hard to farm revives now without shotguns and snipers readily available.
Yeah.
Like, I had a lot of situations where even when I had shotgun ammo, I'd slide up at someone and shotgun melee, and then they'd just double melee because of extended invincibility and lag.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how that
be an interesting change. Yeah,
we'll see how it plays out. I can't imagine a lot of people would be upset about this, and we're still not at that point yet where we can perfectly balance both PvP and PvE, which I know is something a lot of the community cares very deeply about. But I think that even though we haven't reached that point yet, this is a good change because I can't imagine too much that this would change or like quote ruin PvE. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's only the only downside is if you want to like camp with Scory before starting a raid engagement. Now you can't do that. To get
Like,
you have to wait a little bit longer.
But like, if you're on the bridge, maybe just do like one extra round. It's like, okay, do we want it? We don't have super yet. Okay, just activate the machine.
I don't
activate the Zamboni
meta.
And we'll shoot all the.
Is shooting swarm or skip grenades going to activate scories? Because they do count as kills for some random weapons.
They confirmed on Twitter that it doesn't. I was right there with you, dude. I was literally like, how can I cheese this?
Little nightmare.
You brought back the ashes to assets nightmare from year one, where as a gunslinger, you could just start a match, throw a grenade at a box, and boom, you've got your super.
Yeah.
And, thank goodness.
The only times one of you.
Yeah, that was bad times. Yeah. But yeah, good change of scores.
Change.
You guys ready to move on?
Good thumbs up. Yep. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
We'll see where it goes.
Moving on, buddy.
All right. Next up, The Truth, a sore point with me. Josh states, while I think true strength is its unique ability to find its target, clearly having more rockets is always better, and losing a loaded rocket is, understandably, a heavy loss to many players. To make this a little bit easier to deal with, we're looking into adding one additional rocket into your backpack and bumping Truth to the max rocket launcher reload speed. So it's still going to have one in the magazine, or rather one in the clip. It's going to have one extra rocket in reserve, and it's going to be able to reload faster.
Mm.
I think still hurts to not have three rockets in.
Yeah.
I think the nerf to Truth is a perfect example of changing things based on usage amount. Because, like, the reason why Truth was the most used rocket launcher, in my opinion, is because we've got hand cannons that are better in the legendary form than exotic
Alundra
form.
Maya
Luna. Yeah, right. And like going back to the previous meta where a Matador was pretty much the thing that was equipped in the legendary slot, what's left, you know, it's got the G-Horn or Truth, and then the tracking on Truth is pretty damn good. You get three in the mag. That's why it was used. I don't necessarily think that it was an overpowered exotic that needed.
No, I never heard anybody be like, oh, fucking Truth, this guy. Like, nobody's
you'd be like,
Truth farming me right now.
The tracking on Truth.
Combined arms,
really,
maybe, but no one even plays that, so.
Yeah. Is that a game type still? What? Combined arms.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know, I think you've got a real point there because there weren't really many other exotic offerings to give a lot of competition to it. You know, you've got your Aias Luna, you've got your Palindrome. Those are better primaries than pretty much everything else in the game. And then for your secondary, you know, unless you're a hipster like Mega with the Chaperone. Me too, I love the Chaperone.
Yeah.
But you had a Matador 64, so when it comes to your heavy, you know, you can rock a legendary rocket launcher if it's got grenades and horseshoes, but why not? Or why when you've got Truth?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I feel like the statistics they got on that were false. People just used Truth because they could. Not because they wanted to.
Yeah.
You guys are overlooking the most important reason to use Truth. It matches the Midas shader perfectly if you get the Heart of Gold. I mean,
very true.
That's true.
I feel like the only reason I used it was a pocket buff to the Tychonaut helmet. Just get tripod, grenades, and horseshoes, and now you have a Truth.
There's a helmet that only a few people remember. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, I wish that thing were good.
It's got great aesthetics if you're filming and you want to get a nice astronaut-looking guy. That's the only reason.
I've tried to make it work with Dragon's Breath, but it's horrendous. It doesn't really do
much. Same here, man.
Oh, my God.
I'm right there with you, brother. I tried it. I tried to make that thing good with Dragon's Breath. It's sad. It's like the Astrocyte verse. But, yeah, you know, and I absolutely agree when you say that this is a change that came about probably because they saw usage numbers for the Truth, and the usage numbers are artificially high because there's just no other exotic that, you know, most high-end players were really using because they had better, you know, primaries and secondary options.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kind of sucks.
So it's nice that they're kind of tweaking it back, but again, I think it was another one of those rather unnecessary changes that they could have avoided spending the time and resources on had they have actually known why the usage was, you know, I mean, I agree, yeah, looking at the spreadsheets or whatever, the information in front of them, like, wow, everyone's using this. Maybe we need to sort this out. And it's like, a little investigation as to why they were using it would probably have saved you a lot of time there.
This is such a completely not true circle jerky joke that I'm about to throw out there, but it just like amuses me that like there's like a tiny part. Thanks for 2 seconds. that Bungie does all of their weapon testing in like Mayhem combined arms or something like that. They're like, well, Truth is too powerful. Like, Greg got 30 kills with it. We got shot. That's obvious.
Golden Gun Simulator. It's a complete joke.
They look at more than that, but it just made me giggle thinking that that's how they tested those weapons.
Beautiful.
Well, it's certainly carry not on, helped Link. By the fact that they pull out the usage chart every so often with their Crucible Sandbox updates and say, too many people are using this, so we're going to take it and put it down here. Mm-hmm. No, don't do that. Just make other things better. Like, you know, the grenades and horseshoes thing.
I think we should make a rule in sweats. Everyone has to wear the Astrocyte verse so they see high usage of it, and then they just unnecessarily nerf it.
What would they do? What could they possibly do?
Wouldn't it be funny if we did this, like, elaborate community prank where, like, everybody... Mm-hmm. Use, like, just pick a random gun. Like, I can't think of anything.
Super good advice.
Kabastov.
Everybody use super good advice for like 2 weeks. Just everybody use it. Like,
the usage numbers.
Use it. And then Bungie's like, what the hell is going on right now?
Nerf it.
Well, based on that premise, the nerf wood is going to be wormed. It's definitely going to be wormed. What we got next on the old list of the TWAB?
All right, next up is the No Land Beyond. Oh, lordy, lordy. Much like the recent rise of sidearms, No Land Beyond is showing up more and more. Big surprise there. Ultimately, we would never want to destroy No Land Beyond's exoticness, meaning we would never move it away from the primary slot or change it from being a sniper. On the contrary, we found a potential workaround for making No Land Beyond flinch like the sniper rifle it is. This one will require a good amount of testing, but we think it's a good change. Keep your shooting clean and you'll still pop heads like nothing's ever changed. But falling behind in a head-to-head primary fight will likely be a death sentence. So, the golden age of no flinch, no land, finally coming to an end.
The only thing about that confuses me is why do they have to call it like a workaround to make it flinch like other snipers? Isn't that just like how you make the fucking gun? I don't understand. Like, you just
I don't know.
What's the worker? They don't have access to the source and they have to change it in a special secret way or something. Somebody forgot the password to change the shit on it.
Equipped and unequipped No Land Beyond, you can clearly see that the model is a sniper rifle. It has like an invisible scope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if that's any clue.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that member of the community, but I guess it's because they might break all primaries if they
maybe. I mean,
add flinch to it. Flinch is added to every primary.
Or it'll be like the opposite. It'll be they'll add flinch to the No Land and it will double the flinch on all other snipers.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
they'll just completely
like I'll gladly laugh along because it's funny when you read it that way. You're like, well, why can't it's like. What is the problem going on here?
Like, I just like his wording. A workaround makes it sound like he doesn't actually work there. Like he found a cheat code.
Yeah. At the same time, we're not game developers. We have no idea how the magic inner coding works. If they wanted me to code it, I would literally ruin the entire game. I would be like the exact opposite of Neo. I would just ruin everything in the Matrix and it would all go to shit in like a minute. But so what do we think of
that
change?
That world.
Good change?
Wow.
Bad change?
Do you recall a rather devilishly handsome chap on the podcast last week mentioning this exact thing about the No Flinch Beyond?
So they're saying they get their balance ideas from story.
Understanding. My point was that it's like it's breaking the I don't want to say rules, but like it's a sniper rifle, but it doesn't follow the same like. Yeah. Parameters of a sniper rifle, which pointed into it being an error or a bug or something had been forgotten to be doing, you know, like it they put flinch on sniper rifles for a reason, in an effort for balance. Whether it did anything positive or negative is irrelevant to this topic at the moment because they did it for a reason. However, that was outside the confines of that reason, and it's a sniper rifle, so that's like You know, there's it's an error or a bug or it was something that got forgotten and fixing it. It's not nerfing it. It's fixing it. So I think even with No Land flinching like other sniper rifles users when you shoot at them, I still think it's going to be as strong as it is now. However, there was a lot of discussion on Twitter, even though I personally didn't see anything in this week at Bungie that related to fixing the reload. You know, the cancel glitch thing. I didn't see anything.
I don't think they'll do it.
No, but there was a huge conversation that people
kind of assuming
that was going to get. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm literally assuming that's probably
that's something that trying to fix that would probably break a bunch of
maybe
shit, because that seems
and
like
I'm not sure with that because I don't know.
You can sprint cancel weapons.
I like it is part of the style. I like button glitches. I'm a Smash Bros. Player. I like wave dashing. I was a Halo player. Loved BXRing and double shooting. I don't know. It's just it's cool to me. But I do like that they're fixing No Land Beyond. Even though part of me is sad because I do love the gun, but it's like you're right, Story. I mean, snipers are supposed to flinch, and it's just kind of bringing them in line. I feel like No Land Beyond is supposed to be like a really big, like high risk, high reward primary. You know what I mean? Because you can use it with special weapons at the same time, and you can get that amazing cross-map one-shot kill with your primary, which is, like, insane. Yep. But you lose the ability to team shot, which is really important in a primary strong meta.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you shouldn't feel like you can go in with No Land Beyond and be, like, a king and just lay waste to everybody, even, like, flinching me, screw you, peasant. Boom, dead. But, like, that's a little bit sad. But I do think it's a good change.
Before the most recent update, I was one of those people who was kind of the mind that since No Land behaves so differently from other snipers in so many other ways, and in a lot of ways that made it worse, that I didn't have a huge problem with like the flinch glitch or whatever you want to call it. But now that it behaves so differently and it's basically like the best sniper because of the nerfs to special ammo, like I'm more okay. Like I'm okay
such
with
a weird
changing
statement.
It now. Yeah. I mean, it's no like
the
only
Beyond
sniper,
the best sniper in the game.
It's Icebreaker or No Land. Those are the two best snipers in the game right now. Basically.
Considering
so.
It was like the worst gun in the entire world when it first was released. What do you reckon, Cam, about the whole No Land situation?
I feel like when you take the circumstances into account, the special ammo economy, it makes sense. But I also feel like they could give back to the community by straight up removing Mulligan.
See, I think Mulligan is like, okay, so if you don't know what he's talking about, like the reload glitch that you're talking about, Story, Mulligan screws with that. And if you were to take Mulligan out, No Land would actually improve because you could consistently do the reload glitch every time instead of getting tripped up when occasionally you get the bullet back from the Mulligan perk. So I think actually I had a conversation about this earlier today, Cammy. It's funny that you bring that up, but maybe Bungie knew about the reload glitch and they couldn't do anything to fix it. So they purposefully put Mulligan on the gun as like
sense.
A countermeasure to throw off. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, or it could just be a fucking coincidence.
If they remove the reload glitch, it's a huge buff to Night Stalker and Twilight Garrison because they have that delayed neutral thing in between the shots.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Yeah, man, because there was...
Overall, not too surprising a change.
Yeah, the other thing that folks are talking about is if the reload cancel was not possible with No Land, it would definitely need some kind of buff to handling or like the reload or something like that. Because obviously, I don't. It's a gun that rewards a good aim and the confidence in which to use it. It's a one shot, very slow, cumbersome weapon as a primary, and you're losing the ability to team shot. So precision. I think rewarding that with a one shot, a one banger, is good. You know, so like I wouldn't want to see it completely phased out. I just think that you know fixing the actual. Like bugs and issues with it is generally a good thing all round, you know.
I guess for me, the No Land has so much character that it's one of my favorite guns to use. Like it's like the chaperone in a way where it's just weird compared to all the other guns in the game that I really, really like it. So I get worried when they talk about changing things to it. I'm like, I like this gun. It's fun.
I feel you. I still think it'll be a sexy gun.
I think it's gonna be fine. When, trust me, I'm such a shit shot. If you're shooting me and the gun is visibly flinching, I'm not getting a fucking shot on you anyway. So this isn't going to change much for me, all right? I back out as soon as a bullet hits me if someone sees me and I'm sniping. I'm a terrible sniper.
And that's just the thing, you know, if you're pelting a No Land Beyond user with primary fire, they're not going to be able to just effortlessly blast at you without having any sort of flinch whatsoever.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's fair because every other sniper in the game behaves like that.
Yeah. It's just logical. I mean, if someone's shooting you in the face, it's hard to shoot them back in real life. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
In an alternate universe with No Land Beyond, like we all understand it's an anti-tank gun, right? That's the design of it. Mm-hmm. Give it one bullet in the magazine and old armor-piercing rounds, and let us have fun for one weekend.
Nice. That's what I'm talking about.
You want a scories camp? I'm going to shoot you through the map.
Might as well make it a one-shot kill then to the body if we're going to do that.
Damn
one
right,
in the magazine.
Dude.
Beautiful.
Ooh.
That's... you know, Nolan Beyond's ability it is when you get one-shot kills with it, it increases what you're handling?
Your damage.
Yeah, it gives you damage.
So with weapons of light illuminated, you can body shot after a kill. It's very fun to do.
I always had the dream of changing that ability a little bit so that it could stack. And so that, say, if you got one headshot, then another headshot, and got three times the stack, you would be able to body shot from then on out until you died or until, like, I don't know, a 10-second timer.
That sounds interesting.
That would be the most amazing.
Calm down there, Satan. Good Lord.
Yeah. Everybody in the community turns against the Black Link overnight.
I'm the guy who loves Thorn. I'm the guy who says bring back year one Thorn. I'm used to it. Come at me, fam. I got you. Right on. So that's the change to No Land Beyond. Next up, finally, we have the changes that they're working around with behind the scenes with Blink, which has, again, been scrailed in the past couple
totally
of years. Totally scrailed. And they say, as you know, we've nerfed Blink a few times over the years. While we're happy with the latest changes, we believe that the stack of nerfs has grown a little bit too high. To counter this, To counter this, we're looking into removing the old recovery nerf entirely. Additionally, we're looking at pulling back the time that you are HUDless by just a bit. This is actually a pretty big change.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It's funny, they say, oh, we're happy with where Blink is right now, but, you know, maybe the stack of nerfs has gone too high. Let's remove the biggest nerf.
I can't
the biggest nerf to
help play. But giggle. I mean, it's a good change. I can't help but giggle that, like, we had to reach this point where I feel like it's like a Saturday Night Live sketch. You know, like, we're like, really? Mm-hmm. You're nerfing Blink?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. And they're like, yeah. Maybe we went a bit overboard. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Just
so
yes.
It's my opinion.
I do have to giggle about it, but I'm more happy that we're listening, community's listening to Bungie, yeah. Bungie's listening to the community, we're all listening to each other. You know, yay, thumbs up. They're making a good change here. Yeah. Good on you.
And it's worth remembering that Blink
good on you.
Was a huge topic. The House of Wolves days on forums, Blink is too strong. Mm. You know, it dominated the competitive scene as well. Like, I'm going to hold my hand up and say that I was voting for a nerf to Blink, and that was a bad move. If I could take that back and take my vote back, I would have left it in the game as it was.
So many Americans feel the same way as you, Story, right now.
You know?
Yeah.
I think this is a great opportunity for them to bring Astrocyte Verse to something usable.
Yes.
This is where you do it. This is where you implement a change. Maybe remove the HUD entirely. Or you know what I mean. Like restore the HUD entirely.
Yes.
Rather than lose it temporarily.
Yeah. Have something. It's a purpose to use such a beautiful exotic. The design that went they just is probably one of the coolest helmets of any game ever. And no one wears it because it's useless.
Doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Blink is still the real deal though. I was playing Rumble before this podcast. I got stuck by a fusion and then got the godly Blink where it's just like, you're allowed to live today.
Just drop it off. The poor man's Shade Step.
But, actually, Shade Step and Twilight Garrison. Advantage. Throws you in third person. If you pull a sword hilt before blinking, throws you third person. And because of the delay of Blink, you can switch back to your primary before you can actually shoot. So now you have third person Blink if you have the button combo.
Right on. So learn something. I didn't know that. Learn something new every day. But I'm right there with you, Fallout, when you say it's funny to watch some of these changes. Because in a lot of ways, I feel like they're kind of just slowly taking us back to year one with a lot of the changes that they've made. Auto rifles, high impacts,
we're
basically back
circle.
Where they were.
It would
we're coming
nice.
Full circle, you know? The changes to hand cannons, you know, getting their initial accuracy from year one back. Auto rifles, high impacts are not back to their 1.0 self. But they're back to where they were before the February update. And now Blink's getting its recovery debuff removed. And that's I think it's going to be a good change because Blink got hit kind of hard several times. And I didn't think the recovery nerf was really warranted. Definitely. Although I do definitely remember the large outcries from back in the day, especially during House of Wolves, of, you know, Blink fell winners.
That was the biggest nerf, was when it changed the how you handle weapons in midair with Blink, because that's where the complaints were coming from. People were blinking into like incredible shotgun approaches. You just like roll up and it's like, boom, death from above, you're screwed, where's the next kill at? You know what I mean? And once they changed that, then the numbers for Blink really went down. And then Bungie was like, let's just make sure. they did the recovery nerf.
Nail in the coffin.
And now they're like, let's really make sure.
That nerf changed the order of operations for Blink. It used to be Blink, then shoot. Now it's shoot, then Blink, so you can get a sideways lateral around somebody.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Come on.
A little bit of a flank action there.
But good change. Good change, Bungie. Thumbs up.
I don't know when we'll be seeing this. It is worth noting that all of these changes do come with an asterisk. They could change at any time. Yeah. Bungie was certain to say that in the update. But if everything goes according to plan, they state that these potential changes should join the changes that are going to be coming with the health regen changes. The Hungering Blade stuff that got kind of all borked up with Hotfix 2.5.0.2. No idea when that's going to be coming around, but it's good to know that they've listened to a lot of the complaints from the community. The more valid ones, not the, you know, remove sidearms.
Yeah.
And they're addressing it. And this is good. This is it's really good that they're taking an active role in discussing some of the things that they're testing so quickly after a hotfix.
Yep.
This is like super out of character for Bungie, which we very famously usually only get these sorts of updates every 6 months. So good. I'm happy with the changes that they've mentioned in here.
Me too.
At least most.
If they keep this up to Destiny 2, I'm on it full support. I can't see any reason not to be.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Especially even if there were changes I wasn't happy with, knowing that they're listening to things, you know, like, and acting quickly makes it so I wouldn't even, I'm not even that upset if there's anything I don't like. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Yeah. Keep it up, guys. Keep it up, Bungie.
And it paves a way for trying things out. Like, if they're not sure and they're like, well, this change could potentially be an extremely positive change, but it needs to be released out into the wild before we can 100% confirm its positivity or not. You know, like, if they're more frequent, I mean, obviously we can't have them too frequently because it costs a fair whack of money to push a patch live, but that's no reason to not push a patch live. You know, it's like you're making a game. You need to patch it regardless of how much money Sony and Microsoft have got their hands out for. You know, so I think folks would be a lot more willing and a lot more accepting of these kind of changes, especially if they're going to be like something that needs to be tested. So as Cammy said, like, it paves a really decent way for Destiny 2 and restores a lot of faith, because we have to accept that, you know, these patches have been few and far between. Communication has considered quite poor as well. And, you know, it's good. It's a good thing. You know, I can only give thumbs up. And it was a breath of fresh air. So if this is, like, a joint thing that Bungie have decided, or whether it's, like, Josh Hamrick's influence or whatever, huge thumbs up and massive gratitude for it.
Yeah, absolutely. We've spoken about this on the show, and anybody who's followed me at any of my streams know I complain about it at least once every week. I was never really a fan of sort of the, I think Bungie described them as having weapon seasons, patching balance seasons, where they leave things the way they are for a long period of time. I think going 6 to 7 months without really updating your sandbox, especially when it comes to weapon balance, when it's in a state like it was with the Matador 64 or for a very large period of the Taken King, I don't think that did any favors for the actual community playing the game. And I'm not asking for Bungie to, you know, be sort of like Blizzard is with Overwatch, where literally every month we're getting balance updates to every character. But moving forward with Destiny 2, I really hope they're taking a more active stance towards their sandbox environment for Crucible. And certainly, at least letting us know what's going on behind the scenes more often is definitely a step in the right
direction. Great point, man. Everyone wants to know behind the scenes stuff. I mean, you've got your favorite movie.
Oh, yeah.
They bring out a making of, and you watch that and you love it, you know. So, like, knowing what a developer thinks and what their opinions are is like a huge, you know, it's not just an insight. It's like a, you know, you're satisfying like a hunger. A fan loves to hear that stuff. They love hearing, you know, the actors talk about playing the role and how directors have, you know, directed scenes, and how the special effects guys have come up with all the explosions and stuff like that. So this is a really good step in, you know,
more communication can only benefit both parties.
Exactly.
The community loves the communication. We're like, oh, this is what they're doing. Great. We don't feel like we're being left in the dark, even though that's not their intention. Like, they just want to tinker behind the curtain for a long time because their goal is like, oh, we'll hit them with everything at once. It'll be huge and great. But, like, we kind of don't want that so much because we're sitting here like, what are they doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like Mega said, sometimes they come out swinging for the fences with these changes. But, like, we just want, like, a little bit change at a time so we can see how it affects the game. They're like, screw shotguns, screw ammo. Ah, we're just like, whoa, 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 what have you just done? So, like, some of this
put
is great, but, like, good
down.
Lord, yeah, calm down, man. Like, Wormwood boys.
Yeah, put that Nerf
bat
down.
Don't throw Bloom in and destroy an entire primary class.
Yeah, but it can only
do that.
It can only benefit both parties, in my opinion, and I think it's great that they put out that that update from Josh, and hopefully we can see more things like that in the future.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that pretty much covers it for the changes that they're working on right now. Only real other thing going on in the blog for this week is, of course, we've got Iron Banner next week. It's going to be starting up on Tuesday as usual. Should be fun. It's going to be Supremacy, which seems to make half of the crowd groan and the other half cheer. I like Supremacy.
Yep.
Me too.
I'm a fan of that game.
Yeah, I like it.
And it's a very different game mode now.
It's going to be interesting with all sidearms.
Yeah,
it's very different. Yeah, I was like, oh, Supremacy, time to break out the... Oh, wait a minute. Time to do something? I don't know.
Time to palindrome people and maybe get to the crest in time.
You won't.
Yeah.
You won't.
Close and personal auto rifle.
Get into Wormwood distance.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
tactics. I'm going to stick at this guy, it says to his friend. You go run in and get both of our crests after I trade.
Plan for the trade, right? Yeah.
There's a crest out in the middle of the open field, Mega. Get in there. Just slap a bullseye on his back and push him into the field.
That is 90% of my role in any teamwork-based game if I'm playing with people like Fallout. It's just, you're the bait. I know it. It's fine. I run out and I die so he can get the kills.
I'm just
Fallout's KD brought to you by my death.
Brought to you by Mega Magwitch. No, I like Supremacy, and I'm glad that it's coming back for Iron Banner. I mean, to the haters, to all the haters out there, you just want to play Control for the rest of your life? Come on.
Yeah, they do. That's the thing. They do. They just want Control and Control only.
It's like going into Haagen-Dazs.
Iron Banner Rumble.
Yes, I will take Vanilla, please.
I'd take Iron Banner Rumble.
I'd take Iron Banner Rumble.
That would be awesome.
I would lose a lot at Iron Banner Rumble.
I would love that.
I love
Iron Banner.
I'd love
that or like a Mayhem Iron Banner. I think would be really fun.
Oh, yes.
That would be quite bananas, yeah.
I've really grown fond of Mayhem. Like, when it first came out as a mode, I was like, this is too much. This is too
much.
But now I'm like, oh, it's back. It's back. Yes. And then,
Dory, what subclass do you play in Mayhem? I'm just curious.
At the moment, Blade.
Blade?
Really?
Okay. What a masochist.
Whoa.
I thought he was going to say, like, a golden gun or Nova.
A golden gun. Or, you know.
I mean, it does get golden gun. Everyone is running golden gun in Mayhem, but I've had some really good games as Blade. Like, thanks. I mean, I use Blade. I religiously used the invisibility on Blade. So when you pop your Blade, you go invisible and you're off the map. And providing you don't jump or sprint, you're completely off the radar, you know? But after watching Cammy's guide on Blade Dancing, if you haven't seen this, this is a 34-minute feature-length guide to Blade Dance, which is easily the most in-depth, not just in-depth, but really interesting exploration into all of the different possible ways that you can play and things that you'd have never have thought of at all. So go and watch this guide because it will give you a rejuvenated love. Even if you were a Year One Blade main, or if you've never touched it before, go and watch that. I'm going to spam the link for it at the end of the podcast when we do our goodbyes and everything, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, go watch that stuff. Yeah, man, I can't imagine the amount of work that went into that video, but I've watched it twice now and I will watch it again because that's how damn good it is. So but yeah, Mayhem Blade, watch the video then go play some Mayhem. You know?
I'm going to actually watch that because for the first time ever, I've started running Blade occasionally just because I'm so tired of hearing my friends bitch about Blade that I just want to know, like, how bad is it? How bad is it right now that you guys have to complain about every single match nonstop? I just want to know.
It's just,
it's a fun class.
You can't run it cookie cutter anymore. You have to run it greasy. And so that's basically it, as simple as I can put it.
Yeah, man.
That's the quote. Can't run a cookie cutter. Gotta run it greasy. Cut and print that right there.
I'm loving this term, you know, greasy, for like playing dirty. Like, beyond dirty, it's greasy, you know?
So why don't you give us a little bit of that guide? How do you generally play Blade Dancer?
Well, when they said Hungering Blade nerf, I was like, well, why not just not use Hungering Blade? So I went Stalker. So then after running around in private matches, I was like, wait a second. Once you start sprinting, you go on the radar, but a second later, you're off the radar. So you can use that to your advantage to set up some crazy flanks. And if you have a coordinated team, you can tell them to feint and go crouch in a spot so they flick on the radar. And only when you're in that immediate inner circle of the radar do you actually appear. So you can get in there, throw a flux, and then deal with someone else. So that's two down for free.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff, look, man. Look at that. Yeah, you know, for the longest time, mainly because of how the class played in year one, where it was, I think, unquestionably the best class for PvP.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people just, you know, they live and die by Hungering Blade. And I know personally, me, I don't think I ever really ran anything other than Hungering Blade.
There was no need to.
On Blade Dancer.
There was no need to.
Yeah. So I did. That sounds cool to me. I might have to head into some mayhem after we're done here and try that out, because I don't think I've ever used. I don't think I've ever even used that perk on Blade Dancer.
Are we familiar with short-stopping? There are other slots in this.
Yeah. Talk about short-stopping camp for a moment.
Right. At some point in Destiny, I remember the Blade Dancer swiping consistent, but then everyone started getting smart and wising up and getting floating in the air and such with Titans and Warlocks, to where you shortstop. You swipe at them, but don't hit them. Sometimes it even makes the sound. Sometimes it even takes away your energy, but it doesn't do damage. It doesn't kill them. So what I started doing is running Razor's Edge and using Blade as a Grenadier kind of class. I just throw a grenade at them and shoot Razor's Edge and use the damage resistance to distract them.
It works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the invisibility, you know, when you pop your blade as well, that really helps. It doesn't stop the short stop problem. When we were playing Trials earlier on, I was using Blink, using Blade, just going against the grain, you know, having a great time with it. But there was some very clear short stop moments where there was two guys in front of me. I would have got an easy double if that melee registration would have you know, done what it's supposed to do, man. So be prepared for some frustrations, but it's still a really fun class. Like, just be aware of it. It's like, I could short stop. Don't risk everything for that blade kill, that arc blade kill. You know, just be
especially since you lose special ammo.
Yes. But mm-hmm. Well, I suppose in Mayhem, it's not so bad, because like, you'll get your grenade back real quick. And there's special, you know, hemorrhaging all over the place. So there's a lot of deaths in Mayhem anyway. But like, I've had some really good games recently with it.
Can I just say, I just had to think back about how we got on this Blade dissection and realized we Blade, Mayhem Clash, Iron Banner Supremacy. Somehow... That's how we've ended up here. Iron Banner led us to a blade.
No, we were talking about Mayhem, Iron Banner.
I know. But it's such a wild spread to me. That's how it went.
It's a beautiful thing.
Natural conversation, man.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Sounds like a normal day on my channel. Somehow we get off topic.
Right on.
Good call.
Well, all right. That's pretty much it for the weekly update from Bungie, and I think that's pretty much it for this section of the conversation.
Real quick, before we do, I just want to throw out the guns for Iron Banner this time. You can get that Lingering Song. That's the only thing I care about. Yeah. Get that two-tap magic stick.
Look for that sniper. Luck in the Chamber roll on that hand cannon.
Four shots. Those
really frustrating.
Yep, that's what I do.
Four bullet magazine Luck in the Chamber. Super dirty. Definitely try and get one.
Yep.
Definitely try and get one.
It is great. I've been using it since the first Iron Banner Supremacy. I love it. So.
Same here. Yep. One of my favorite hand cannons right now. But all right, good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Yep. Is it time for questions?
Sure.
I think so, yes.
Yes.
Sure? Question mark?
Yeah.
Questions. Why not?
Why not ask questions?
I'm going
to pull up the Twitter.
I got one that was sent to me directly from Skenny. Question for the podcast tonight. If Fallout and Mega played each other in Rumble, who would win, and why is Mega the obvious answer?
Because I would DDoS Fallout. Well, I don't know. That's the only fucking way that I would possibly win. There's two ways that I win this. One, I DDoS him. Two, we're in the same place, and I just punch him in the face when the match starts, and he's so distracted.
Good luck, buddy.
Yeah, that's the only way. If I could get three kills the whole match.
We would tie because we would start singing together.
Exactly. And we'd be too much guy love. We actually did play Rumble, like, I think once we played one Rumble game together. When we were practicing for the podcast showdown, it was like before we were all on, you and I just went into a Rumble match. I think I killed you like a 1-7 ratio. That's how it went down. So
there were other people there. It was just like you and me. Like,
I know, but every time, I mean, you were the only person I cared about killing just one time. Oh, okay. So I could,
obviously,
so I could establish my manhood for a moment.
Dude, that beard has given you permanent manhood establishment for your entire life.
So, that's what it's for. That's the only reason it's here, to hide the fact that I watch Gilmore Girls every night and that I have no man credit. All
right. Let's get some real questions.
Yeah, real questions.
Directly for Cammy, look, how did you get the name Cammy Cakes?
Ooh, all right, I'm going to make this long story short. I was a cheerleader in high school, first name Cameron. So the girls on the team naturally called me Cammy Cakes, and I was like, what's a funny Xbox Live gamer tag? So I was like, let's go Cammy Cakes, because I just thought it was funny. Then lo and behold, months later, I'm somewhat decent at PvP, and people are cursing my name. Cammy Cakes? Do you realize how stupid that sounds? Like, that still makes me jiggle.
Fucking Cammy Cakes guy!
That's pretty funny, actually.
Awesome. I just want to say, no offense, you do not have the build that I would imagine for a male cheerleader. As someone who had several male cheerleader friends, I expect a thicker neck. Oh, yep. You don't have the thick a male thicker, cheerleader
I
neck.
I can go into hours of conversation with that. Yeah, right. They're so much bigger than me, it's hard to make collegiate teams.
Lovely.
Good answer to a good question.
It. Yeah,
excellent.
Like it. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, if I ever play against you, I will scream to the heavens about that fucking Cammy Cakes guy and his stupid Pocket Infinity.
And the Invis.
Yes. all right. Well, come on, question, boys.
There's another one for you. This is a good one, actually. Another one for Cam. With a name like Cammy Cakes, I'd like to know his favorite cereal or comfort food. This is from Keke Hippo.
All right. We have to good ask question. This to every guest.
I'll just answer the cereal. And I actually had a cereal eating class back in sixes. I would throw on the Ahamkaras and throw trip mines on the wall and just eat cereal, calling out stuff to my team in third person.
Yes.
Honey Bunches of Oats.
Okay.
Good
okay.
answer.
Good choice. Good choice.
I feel like the only thing Fallout is really passionate about is video game PvP and cereal.
In that order.
We've discussed this multiple times.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Let's see. Good I've question. Got one Good from question. Tasty Panda 9666. Great name. Says, should high rate of fire shotties and snipers respawn with some ammo to buff them a bit? No point in using them at the moment. Now, the high rate of fire would be stuff like the Proud Spire, the Iron Banner shotgun, or I guess like the Deposition 7, I think, from the New Monarchy, which honestly didn't see a lot of use in Crucible, I don't think.
Occam's Razor.
Occam's Razor.
Yeah, or the Occam's Razor, the Vanguard shotgun.
You know, that question brings up a really good point, and it's like there are just certain weapons that just have no usage in PvP, because why? You know what I mean? Like a high rate of fire shotgun, why? High rate of fire sniper, why? Like, and it's a good idea trying to find a way to bring them in so that they can actually get used for once, but I don't know, if you were to give them free ammo but not give ammo to the others, it would kind of create a very similar problem to the one we have right now.
Yeah.
Well, maybe so like people are only using the wormwood. Yeah, maybe. I mean, again, it's an interesting question, and it's a very good one. Trying to fix kind of like a very interesting problem that we have, that there are just so many weapon types in the game. Just like, I'm not going to use that bullshit. Yeah. Unless I'm making like a funny YouTube video like, oh my god, isn't it hilarious that I killed them with this gun or something like that?
I tried it today with the Occam's Razor. Replenish full auto, then you quiver. 6 shots in between each quiver. It sucked. They just like laughed in my face and shot me with wormwood. It even sucked. Though I was shooting tethers at their feet and unloading shells.
Well, you know what, Cammy? God love you for trying, brother.
Yes. But when even he says it sucked, that lets me know I'm never going to use that.
You the bother.
Yeah.
And that's always been the problem with some of those lesser used archetypes, because like you take the Occam's Razor or the Proud Spire. Yeah, they're capable of hitting the same range stats as like, you know, a Matador 64. But that basically cut in half impact means you have to be much closer to get a one-shot kill. And why would you use that? It's like using the faster rate of fire hand cannons right now. Most of them are four-shot kills. Why would you purposely, and most of them have naturally less range, why would you use that over a 2281 Fatebringer archetype?
When sidearms do the exact same thing.
Mm. Exactly.
Yep. Better. They do it better.
It's a gun without a purpose. Yeah. Truly. Gun without a purpose.
Yeah, good question. Good question.
Great question.
Yeah, I don't think it'd just be the same thing with sidearms.
Exactly. It's not making the gun good. It's just making a bad gun the only option. Like,
yeah. Great way of putting it.
That is probably the most beautiful way I've heard it said. Sidearms aren't broken right now. Yeah. They just took the environment and made bad guns the only option. Beautiful. Excellent.
Now there's one in the Twitch chat from Slurpuff Gaming. Should Thorn damage over time be buffed back to pre-April update 2016 since we have memory of Silimar?
No, just give it its range back. that's my answer.
I
just give it its range
back.
I would like something to happen to Thorn. I don't know. I miss Thorn, don't you?
I do.
You guys miss Thorn?
I do. Very much so.
A bit. Yeah. I miss shooting him in the body and then seeing those numbers and pre-charging a fusion rifle.
Yeah.
But... No, can't do that anymore.
Or, you know, firebolt and then pop, turn around, walk away laughing as a Michael Bay explosion goes on in the background. Because I think at its peak, what did Thorn's Dodd do? Seven? Somewhere.
It was seven, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was really
high. And it does
high.
Like two now and stacks. Does it stack
one,
up?
I'm pretty sure. It displays as two, but I'm pretty sure it does like 1 point.
In its prime, it was a two-shot headshot, so we can safely assume somewhere in the 200 range for total damage.
That's the thing. I don't want to go back to the days where you could. I never thought the two shot headshot was a problem with Thorn because it at least took skill. But the days when they basically took that away, it just became a three shot body shot weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of because of the burn, and that's what I had a problem with Thorn, because it basically took away the it allowed you to be lazy. It took away any incentive to go for precision shot and just said, hey, if you're in range, which Thorn had massive range, just pop three in the body and walk away. I want Thorn to be able to three shot, you know, if you get a primary shot and two body shots, but it's just a weird weapon to balance.
So what if they bring up Thorn's burn damage, but they make the burn work something like Luck in the Chamber, where only like half of the shots have a chance of doing the burn or something.
Did anyone use the original Thorn before it got buffed? Back when it had six shots, terrible reload, abysmal stats.
Yeah.
I still used it. Yeah, I used it, but I didn't like it very much. But I was in love with the design, so I used it a lot.
The idea was if you shoot someone, they're not recovering health. And we know warlocks have very quick recovery. Mm-hmm. Now the burn's not as long, so you can't take as much of an advantage unless you shoot someone who uses blink, because they have no recovery. But
yeah. And, you know, I guess, you know, there's also an artifact now specifically designed to neutralize the effect of damage over time. So maybe they could buff the damage over time for Thorn back up. But really, in my opinion, all it needs back is its range. That 25% range nerf they hit it with a few patches ago, I thought was absolutely unnecessary. Yeah,
that might be nice, yeah.
That is a very good question.
I've like never shot Thorn. I hate how it looks. I just don't. I'm like the one person who doesn't love its aesthetic. I think it looks goofy. Like it? I hate it. I hate it so much.
Even with the ornaments?
Yeah, I don't like any of it. It looks so goofy and out of place to me when I fire it. I don't know what it is. I really hate its gigantic spike bullets in the wall. Just it looks like a PlayStation 2 gun to me.
To quote my good friend Link,
what do you mean? What do you mean?
Sorry, guys. I got to drop controversial opinions every now and then.
And we love Thorin was one of aesthetically the best looking guns in the game, you know, just not just with the way the gun was shaped, but the fact that it actually fires like these nails. I always thought that was super duper cool. Piercing shots, too. But you know, I'd like to see Thorin get its range back, please.
For your guys' sake, I'll vote for it, too, because I love you. All right.
It kind of sucks
my stamp of approval.
Here's a good one that can inspire some good conversation to us all from Battlecrates TV. How do we feel about the current usage across the primary and special weapons? He's linked to a stat distribution from Guardian GG that clearly shows hand cannons at the top, second in line, auto rifles, pulse rifles, and then sidearms and so forth. But I think we all know how the stat distribution feels to play, so how do we feel about it when we go into the Crucible? Is it in a good spot right now?
I feel like we talked about this ad nauseum already, but...
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah, I mean...
I'm good with how primaries are, say that, like the percentage breakdowns on them, but the specialists, like we've
said...
Hand
cannons are clearly at the top. I think...
Yeah,
clearly.
They're a lot of fun, but like, for example, like I will always gravitate towards hand cannons because they're my favorite weapon group. However, I've played a lot recently where the map's been, say, Widow's Court, and all the good players, like I literally check them all out, stat hoard them and everything. All the good players were using really decent scouts, you know?
Really?
And they were wrecking with it. There was this one guy with a crazy high KD and a crazy high ELO across all the board. Like a real long-term Crucible player with a Colovance's duty. He wasn't camping. Ooh. The guy was always in a different spot, right? And he wasn't always moving around the place, always taking people by surprise, and he was wrecking face with this thing because distance. Hand cannons are pretty much useless at distance. And anything past the 30-meter kind of region.
Max, yeah.
I mean, the damage drop-off thing does put them in line. However, the big problem that we've got is that not many maps facilitate or accommodate really good scout rifles. So he just chose the best weapon for the map there. So there's still maps that kind of not dictate but persuade you to use the different kinds of weapons. But because most maps are close quarters, hand cannons are right up there. And I think that's why we're seeing so much of a usage. And that doesn't mean Bungie, doesn't mean nerf. It does not mean nerf. It
Please
means
no.
that we either need, you know, different, more a bit more of a variety of larger maps, maybe, or
which is something
know.
That is pretty much impossible to happen in Destiny
yes.
1 right now.
Yeah,
so,
that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. So I just don't think we can make it any better than it is right now for primaries. Because I agree that they all have a place like that they can work well right now. It's just that. All of the maps really only have, most of them only have the one place.
Yeah.
That you
I was
could,
very
like,
optimal for hand cannons.
Yeah. I was quite surprised to see how high the auto rifle usage is at the moment because they're not terrible. They're not back where they were in year one. They're a step closer or a couple steps closer. Mm-hmm. But you can have fun with auto rifles now. They're just not as competitive as the other choices around.
Yeah.
The Icarus change all around the board was huge. That is huge thumbs up to Bungie. That easily creates another skill gap because people who can use their airspace now have an advantage.
In-air accuracy. That was a very big change. And, of course, they upped the in-air accuracy of basically all of the non-hand cannon primaries because hand cannons already had really great in-air accuracy. It's about time. And, you know, there's definitely some truth to that. I've been noticing a lot of Jade Rabbits in the Crucible as of late, which makes me happy because I thought people forgot about that exotic. Jade Rabbit's great. And personally, I've been whipping out the Mitra Multitool every now and again, which is still one of my favorite weapons in Destiny's entire history. So, you know, it's good to see. It's good to see some variety there. Ultimately, I don't think much has changed usage-wise. Hand cannons are still the top use class. Pulse rifles are still very good. The only thing, the biggest change, I guess, would be everybody swapped from shotguns to sidearms. But it's still very interesting, and of course, you know, I'm happy with the changes to high-impact auto rifles. What do you guys think about mid-impacts? I mean, I don't know if anybody here actually uses mid-impact auto rifles, but I haven't had much of a chance to play around with them, and of course, they didn't get any sort of change in Hotfix 2.5.0.2.
What's your classical mid-impact? Oh. Reel off some names.
Monte Carlo one? Harmlight.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. I've seen them more often right now. I have some friends who really like Monte Carlo, and I mean, they didn't get a big change, but all auto rifles got a precision damage buff, right? So they got something, didn't they?
I think it was just the high impacts that got
was it?
Damage.
I thought that they all were supposed to get it, and maybe I'm crazy.
I think it was just the high impacts.
I will believe you, the Black Link, but I'll take your word for it.
I want to say.
All right, mm-hmm. You say it. But yeah, I've seen Hardlight and Monte Carlo showing up more.
I thought it was all of them too.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I made a comment.
Let's look it up.
Yeah, High Impact got when someone an was overall like, damage buff, and they all got precision.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Because
someone was like, "Oh, Doctrine of Passive, Doctor Passion is going to be really money now." But I'm like, "Is it though? It's a bullet hose. You're not going to like aim for the head."
Yeah,
yeah. You know bullet mean? Difference doesn't.
I think it was. I think it was. I think it was to all auto rifles. I could be wrong though.
I think the precision was to all right. I got to look it up before I say it.
But. Maybe I'm making up memories like the time
I used the Doctrine and Rumble today with Angel of Lights on the Sun Singer. Lord of Wolves. See that when you pick up special, it's one reload. Right?
Yeah.
Because Angel of Light puts you in the air, you got persistence. The auto rifle starts revving. But the time you fall out of Angel of Light, you get that persistence buff. Now with the new Icarus, it's a laser. You can take two people down in one air strafe.
And can we
nice.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, just really quickly, persistence is such an underrated perk. That is it's a fantastic perk for auto rifles right now. Now, go ahead. I found the stats, but go ahead.
Okay. I wasn't going to say anything meaningful. I was just saying how, like, before Cammy Cakes goes into a game of PvP, he's just sitting there on his couch thinking, how can I fuck with people?
Like, oh, that game irritated
perks
me too.
What
I'll tell you why.
Weapons could I put on? And like, yeah.
Rumble's starting with four people lately. So I was on pace for like a 3-minute game and they kept leaving.
Oh my God. That's really irritating.
Yeah.
It's like you have like a chalkboard. You're like, I would like to get 10 angry post game messages today. So this is the loadout I'm going to use right now. But no, I think it's really entertaining that we have many people in the community like you who aren't slaves to the meta, like myself. But you just because that's kind of the way I play. But it's fun and interesting to branch out and try new things because you never know what you're gonna find. You might find something really entertaining and viable. And if you just find something entertaining, which is just gonna work for a little bit, that's okay. At least you still have fun playing a different way.
Yeah, or even if it's circumstantial or scenario based, you know,
totally
recognizing, oh, this is good. Like, just play with Cam. Like, I seriously, it's like, oh, they're using this or they're trying to do that, or I've seen them do this. I'm gonna switch. Yeah. It's like switching all the time, reading what the enemy are doing and how things are playing and how, you know, how things are kind of progressing. It's really
easy.
Keep you sharp.
Yeah, you play to their weakness, not to your strength. That's what you do with your loadout.
That.
Super. All right, I've got the actual change to auto rifles here.
All right.
So this is what they did. With auto rifles, they've increased the precision damage modifier of all auto rifles from 1.3 to 1, or from 1.25 to 1.3. But the increase in base damage to auto rifles was only done for the low rate of fires. So all of them got a precision damage buff.
There it is. That's the only reason I could think there why I would be seeing more hard lights or Monte Carlos is because some people are aiming for that head. They're trying to, you know.
Why not?
Yeah, but I haven't used one myself, so I can't even. So this whole point is I have not fired a single mid-impact thing. I've just, you know, just seen a couple more in passing, I think. Yeah. So there you go.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is time.
There it is.
Time, yes. So it's time to do our plugs and say our goodbyes and do all our raids and stuff. So we'll start off by thanking our guest, Cammy Cakes, for gracing us with your presence for this podcast. We'd definitely like to have you back. I'm going to choose this moment now, before we do any raids, to spam the link to the Ultimate Blade Dancer Guide, and you get a double whammy with that as well in the chat, because you can go subscribe to Cammy's YouTube and educate yourself on all things variable.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you not in the Twitch live but listening to the podcast later, Cammy, what is that YouTube channel name, please?
Yeah,
YouTube.com/CammyCakesGaming.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
Please go over there.
I can remember that.
Give
That's
him a sub.
Be tough.
Check him out.
Much appreciated, guys.
Yeah,
anytime, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then, Link, would you care to do us an outro for the recording? We will then go on to do a raid, a Twitch raid, but as for an outro for the podcast?
Well, absolutely. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. This has been the Planet Destiny Podcast, episode 110. Again, a special thanks to our guest, Cammy Cakes from Cammy Cakes Gaming. Great to have you here, man. Hope to have you back soon.